Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I can't encourage you enough to take your bulletin home with you and read that hymn at least 5 times this week. Or you get extra points if you do. I promise you, you get extra points. But please read that hymn word for word. It's beautiful in what it says. But for today, today is a day that this congregation will long remember. And why is that? Why will this day be one that the congregation remembers? Well, for some, like me just a few moments ago, the music. It may be the music that you remember this day. For some, this day may be remembered as the first day that they've heard. They've really listened. They've really heard the gospel. For some, this may be the first time they've really latched on to its message of freedom and grace, its forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. And then for others, this may be the last time they ever hear the gospel before going home to heaven. So, what will determine what you remember of this day? Let me suggest this. Let the last words of Jesus from the gospel be remembered. Let those words ring in our ears throughout today and for always. You can look in your bulletin or in the notes, but I want you to look up here. I want you to read with me, please, these words. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. That's what Jesus said. And when you look at the scriptures today, the readings from today, along with the whole gospel lesson, we see lots of destruction and passing away talked about there, don't we? In the Old Testament lesson, God talks about bringing total destruction on the land. That should be truly frightening, that God, the Creator, would bring about total destruction to his creation. Now that is something to remember, and that is something also to fear. But let's go back to those words of Jesus again. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. In Jesus' words, these words that he spoke, we find comfort, not fear. Though heaven and all that we see and know of this earth will be destroyed, in Jesus' words, we have life and hope in the Word of God simply because those words last. They endure. They triumph. Only Jesus' words and His words alone are what we put our hope in. That's what we should remember. And why is that? It's because of the total destruction that Jesus himself endured for our sakes. That's what the cross of Christ was about. The total destruction of our sin and our selfishness and our pride. And lest you think I'm talking in the abstract, this needs to be remembered by how we act with one another and how we speak with one another. Jesus died the death that each one of us deserved. But yet he willingly took it on for our sin. He did that so that we might have the forgiveness we need in order to be restored to God in heaven above. That needs to be taken with us today. That needs to be in our minds this day. Remember that what Jesus suffered for us was not in the abstract, but it was real, it was true, it was pain, unimaginable pain, and death. That was for us. That was for us so that what we read in the Psalms can also be taken not in the abstract, but in truth. Among other wonderful things that the psalm says, it says, The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. His salvation is our salvation in the gift that the Lord has made known to us by His Word. Jesus died. Jesus died and rose again that we might live in the righteousness that He won for us. That righteousness calls us, you and I, to become more Christ-like. But how does that happen for us? It comes by something you might refer to as creative destruction. We, the sinful nature that we are born with, we are destroyed in the death of Christ in our baptism. And we rise to a new life in Him, just as He was resurrected from the dead. Think of it like a jeweler who cuts diamonds. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. But in order for the beauty of the diamond to be exposed, it undergoes a destructive process. What looks like a rock under the jeweler's hammer and chisel and abrasive tools, out comes the diamond. Only through such destruction can the beauty of the stone be revealed. But how does that happen for each of us? It takes time. It takes time to become the people God calls us each to be in this life. And it takes God filing away the rough edges and smoothing out the harsh things in us. And then rebuilding us with the grace of God. That grace is the forgiveness won for us by Jesus on the cross. A while back, we had the joy, Dana and I, of going to see her nephew, Chris, get married. Now, when I do premarital counseling, one of the key things I talk about is the glue that holds a marriage together. That glue is apologizing and forgiving. Apologizing and forgiving. I like to talk about the fact that we have an endless supply of forgiveness. We have an endless supply of forgiveness because that is what Christ gives to us. Forgiveness doesn't come by what we do, but by what He has done and accomplished. So the way to hold a marriage together is with the forgiveness that God supplies each of us. Now, I bring this up because Satan works. Satan always works to remind us of our sins in our marriages, our sins in our other relationships, and in our relationship with God. He'll always try and turn us away from repentance. Like I said, Romans 2 reminds us that it is God's kindness that calls us to repentance. But Satan always seeks to turn us away from repentance, and instead he wants to remind us of our sin. I think I told you the story a while back about Martin Luther. When he was sick, he had a vision of Satan coming to him and unrolling a scroll that showed Luther all of his sins, and Luther began to quake in fear. But then he remembered that in his baptism, all of his sins were covered in the blood of Christ. And Luther, picking up an inkwell, hurled it at Satan and shouted, "Yes, those are my sins, but you have forgotten that I have been baptized, and all my sins have been washed clean in the blood of Jesus." I've been told that it's true, that you can still see the ink stains on the wall of the Wartburg Castle. So I've been told. Now, I'm reminded by this story of a little-known song by a Christian artist. Her name is Nicole Nordeman. And the song is called River God, or Rolling River God. And it has to do with baptism, and it has to do with the new life and the smoothing of rough stones. Now, each of you today have gotten a little stone. Everybody got your little stone? Okay. It's somewhat rough. It isn't totally rough, but it's somewhat rough. And I wanted to give it to you to remind you that it takes time to smooth away the edges and the rough places in our life. The song lyrics say this: little stones are smooth only once the water passes through. So I am a stone, rough and grainy still. And then the song goes on to say, I know that time brings change, and change takes time. And toward the end of the song, she writes to God, my prayer would be just one, that you might pick me up and notice that I am just a little smoother in your hand. When you notice that I'm not as smooth as I should be, or when others in our lives are still rough and not yet as smooth as we would like them to be, I'd ask you to pick up this stone and rub it a little bit and be reminded that change takes time. We all need time to be smoothed out in the cleansing waters of the river of God as we all seek to be more Christ-like. We are still being shaped by the master jeweler. Let us all remember this day, the glue that binds us together, that it's in the words of Jesus Christ, his words of healing and hope, of renewal, of restoration and forgiveness, words that will forever remain. These are his words ringing in our ears that change us and make this day unforgettable as we go. Together we say again, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. In Jesus' name, amen.